session number 19923, Reel 4.
What are you forming room for?
Yeah, but on all the vehicles, they used to have a large white circle with a star in the middle of it, so you could identify that they were ours, you know. But it appears that these Canadians, friendly fire, these Americans have bombed them. So they were coming out with the whatever transport they could get hold of. So once the 8th Army took over, and they were led by a Piper, the Scottish Piper. Weird old noise that at dusk, dawn. We made our way back down to the outskirts of Taranto, where we were given a few days to have a look around, you know. And there we stayed until we caught the boat back to England.
Where did you go to in England?
We went up to Lincolnshire.
For what reason?
Was it Sleaford or Grantham? Grantham or Sleaford. One of those two. It was all put up there. All the airborne was put up there. Lincolnshire, round that way. He's put in a school, billeted in a school. And the main gates, you look out the windows, and the main gates, right opposite the main gates, was a slaughterhouse where they used to slaughter the pigs. You see them tip them onto these trestle things, and wasn't very pleasant. Anyway, that was just before Christmas, 43. And we were just in time for the Christmas leave. But by then, I'd been getting these very bad headaches and things since just after we left England for North Africa. And it was due to, I think, to that chute not opening, that bang I had when the chute never opened properly. Because that started it off. I was really getting bad. Anyway, we had this bit of time up in Lincolnshire. We had this when I came on leave, then went back and started getting geared up for our next stop. And we heard we were going to Europe two or three times, but then it all rumours sort of thing and fell through. And to pass the time, I suppose, the CO decided about a dozen of us should go for medicals, owing to, I don't know, I suppose it was a general way we were carrying on in general, I suppose. And we got sent off for medicals. That was in about the April, I think.
What happened to you as a result of the medical?
Downgraded C3 from A1 to C3.
Because of the effects of this?
Yeah, all this headaches. Also, I was acting a bit irrationally and all, wandering off, you know, not deserting or anything, but I didn't seem to be able to stay in the one place, you know, too long. I felt confined, you know. All sorts of things, aggressive, getting very nasty with people no need to have done, getting argumentative and everything. Anyway, I was downgraded from A1 to C3, which meant out. Well, I think four or five of us got that treatment out of the dozen or so that went. And we had a right to do with the CO. It's a wonder we never went to Jenkins.
What kind of a to do?
Well, when they had us in and told us we were being transferred, you know, we didn't like the idea of that at all. Seeing as we'd been in it from the start, you know, and this next op would more likely be the last one, you know. We didn't feel we should be left out. And we got really abusive and aggressive in the CO's office.
What was the name of the CO?
I can't remember.
So what did he say to you?
Well, he got firm with us, you know. Sergeant Major was there and all the rest of them. He overlooked it. He didn't do anything. And told us in no uncertain manner if we carried on like that, he would have to have us put under arrest, you know. He understood our case, you know. We didn't feel that we should be put out at practically the end of, you know, this would probably be the last theatre over in Europe where they was expecting to go. And he sympathised with us and all the rest of it, but anyone under A1 was out of the airborne, so we had to go. And from then on, as I say, it was just from one place to another.
Which unit did you go to then?
Oh, they were different, mostly transport units. I think they'd realised, with the medical and everything, you know, that people being in camp all the time, I'd only be in more trouble, you see. So they sent me to these places which dealt with transport, running vehicles to docks, so I would be out all day, you know. And I went down, where was that? I went to Shrewsbury first, and we used to run vehicles to Liverpool docks there, you see, for shipment abroad, well, on to all over the place. And Oundle, went somewhere near Northamptonshire, Oundles, same sort of thing all round. And then one down at Ashford in Kent, going to Folkestone, Dover. I was on the move all the time, you see, I wasn't in barracks or anything. And while I was at that Ashford, the MO there, got some of my papers through or something, and I was sent to Netley Abbey, outside Southampton. And I learnt afterwards it's psychiatric hospital. And I was in there for two or three days.
In the hospital?
Mm. Netley Abbey.
Did you get any treatment there?
Only just a load of interviews, talk and medicine, pills sort of thing, you know. And
but you were only there 3 days?
And I was sent back to the unit with prescriptions, you know, different pills. And that's how it went on. Finished up at Greenford. Big ordnance depot at Greenford. They were all short stays, as I say, but most of them, as I say, was transport. I was hardly ever in the depots. I was always out driving lorries and that to docks and places. Until I got demobbed in 46.
How do you feel now about having served with the Airborne in the Second World War?
Very proud.
Did it have any long-term effects on you?
Well, as I say, I don't know. When I got demobbed, just a little while afterwards, I got through the post a pension book. I got a 18 shilling a week pension for psychoneurosis. Whatever that was.
Was that attributed to the fall that you had?
Yeah.
When you were at Netley Abbey, were they asking you about
Yeah. Well, they knew they had me papers there, that I'd been in the airborne, done gliding, parachute jumping, all these sort of things, you know. And they found that all attributed to my general health. And that one, I say that bad drop, that, when the chute didn't open properly, that's the one caused all the headaches and things.
Did the pension continue for the rest of your life?
Oh, no. That's one of the grudges I have got from the war. You know, when I left the army, I went and joined the post office. You know, nice, steady, on a young family and all that. That was regular pension at the end of it, all the lot, right? I was there about a year, probation, you know, 6 months to a year, something like that. And so they called me into the office. They said, "Now look, you have to be, what do they call it? Not temporary.
Permanent? Permanent?
Yeah, but I got a name for it, and I
established.
Yeah. To count towards your pension. You know, temporary service doesn't count towards your pension, but you've got to be, what's the name
on
of it?
On the establishment.
Established. You have to be established before your time counts towards your pension. It's only established time counts towards a pension. So I had a choice. I could give up my war pension and be established. If I kept my war pension, I wouldn't be established.
So you had to choose between them.
I had to give up my war pension before I could be established in the post office. I thought that was all wrong. Anyway, a little while after, say, when I went, I couldn't seem to get out of second gear, you know, in Civvy Street. So I went round the doctors, you know, I went down Battersea Boxing Club, I'd done a bit of boxing in the forces, and I was pretty useful. Thought I might earn a few bob at that. I went down there, never got out of second gear.
What do you mean when you say you never got out of second gear?
Well, I could never get into first gear. You know, I mean, you're fit, Lord Edger. You can really go. But I could only sort of get halfway. Could never really get going, you know. Get so far and then that was it. Anyway, I went to the doctors to find out what it was. I had an ulcer, duodenal ulcer. And he says, he asked me what I'd been doing, and I told him. Well, he said, "It's probably due to your nervous system, with your airborne service and all this, you see. All the various, it's caused an ulcer." So, that was the first operation I had to have to get that ulcer out. And went along quite a bit after that, you know. Anyway, the second time came when I decided I'd go to a pub, I'd take a pub. So I left the post office. I'd done 16 years, no pension, because I'd left it, you see. If you leave it, you don't get any pension. So I'd lost two pensions through the post office. I lost my disability, that 18 bob from the army. And then because I left there to take a pub, I forfeited 16 years civil service pension.
How do you feel about being interviewed about your service in the Second World War, do you find it upsetting or not?
Well, I suppose so, yeah. It's up certain parts of it, you know, when you sort of recall different...
Which parts of it in particular?
Well, as I say, those bodies at Italy, you know, where that thing went down, all those chaps got drowned, and all that. And the general atmosphere of, you know, chasing Jerry's and whatnot and all that. Also, I was in between doing all this training for the airborne and everything, you know. All tends to get you wound up a bit. And then, of course, you hear about your wife getting bombed out and the baby was only a few weeks old. My parents got bombed out. They lived up at Wandsworth Road there. They got bombed out of their place. They was moved out. All these different things. Then my two brothers, they got sunk, you see, in their on their boats. And there's my other brother, he was at Arnhem. It's all these things that together add up, you know. And sometimes you sort of reminisce and this, that and the other. And it can get a bit upsetting.
What about the time at Ringway? Do you find that the memory of that upsetting?
Oh, yeah. Mm.
Mm. Is it the accident or what?
Well, that partially, I suppose, but there's quite a few accidents. It wasn't just, you know, my own accident. I mean, a lot of people was getting injured up there. And when you see those little WAFs crying because they thought it was the chute they packed that caused this fella to... You know, they all blamed themselves for the chutes not opening.